yesterday. You told them to the Bible on Monday morning. Maybe you didn't get an opportunity to go to church yesterday. Let's bring a little church to you. Just talking about Jesus Christ down here. What he did because he loves us when he died on the cross for our sin. I praise God for the Savior, the Son of God. A lot of people today go through life that all they use Jesus' name for is a curse word. And yet that precious Son of God loves them and cares for them. You know, God today has given us a beautiful day, and praise God for that. But it's a wonderful thing to get to stop and to begin to think about God. You know, and I just want to encourage people today to pick up a Bible. The book of all books that God has given is a book that is an eternal book. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. God's given us a precious book because we need it. We need a guidebook to tell us about life. A lot of people have their own ideas. I don't know about you, but I'm often wrong. We need a book that's never wrong. We need something that's a standard, that's an immovable standard. God has given to us that in his word. He's given us a book that has the authority and the power to change men's lives. It tells us about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It tells us about ourselves and our sin. The Bible says about our sin that there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible exposes us for who we are so that we'll take a second to stop and think and realize, you know what? I can't do anything about that. The Bible says, go thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, get thine iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. Our sin is indelible. It's a stain that we can't get rid of any way other than by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God does not desire that stain of sin to remain in our life because it's not just that we have a sin stain on our heart. We have a soul that with that stain will be sent to an eternity in a lake of fire away from God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The punishment for our sin is eternity away from God. You know, God doesn't desire that. That's why he took his son, his precious son, Jesus, put him on a cross of shame, a cross of suffering, a cross where Jesus Christ died in our place as our substitute. God the Father took his son, Jesus Christ, and put him on that cross because he was sacrificing him for our sins. He was paying the way for us to be given the gift of everlasting life. The Bible says about us, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, if you wonder today, does God want people to go to hell? The answer is no. He doesn't want us to go to hell. That's why he took his son, Jesus Christ, and put him on the cross for our sin. He doesn't want us to perish. The Bible says about God that he would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires each one of us today to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we die, we enter into the presence of God in eternity in heaven. The last thing God desires is for us to die and in hell, being in torment, wake up and look at a life that could never be saved, could never be rescued, because once we're in hell, it's forever to wait. Friend, we don't get two opportunities to die, we get one opportunity. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. After we die, we'll stand before a holy God. We'll stand there at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Bible says at that judgment, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. And death and hell gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according to their works. Some religions teach that when you die, that's it for the ungodly. And yet that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a literal place called hell. That place is a fire. It's eternal. God is not there. It's separation from God for all eternity. If that's all that hell was, hell would be bad enough. But it's a fire. There's suffering in hell. The sounds that you hear in hell are weeping and gnashing of teeth. That answers the question why the Son of God, Jesus Christ, would suffer on a cross of shame, a cross of suffering for us, is because he knows that hell is real. The Savior, Jesus Christ, was doing everything he could, but he died for us to save us from that lake of fire. God, praise God today. Again, there's a lot of people that are careless about their life, never thinking about God, never considering the truth about God. And yet, despite that, I can say today by the authority of the Word of God that God loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's amazing to me today that God cares for people that blaspheme Him. It's amazing to me that God cares for people that are living in sinful sexual relationships, that are living, maybe having taken the life of a person, living having lied and living having cursed God's name, and yet God loves that person, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God took His Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that perfect Lamb, the one that John the Baptist, the great preacher, looked at and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That Savior, Jesus Christ, God the Father's perfect sacrifice, that innocent Lamb of God, went and died on a cruel cross. Why did He die? Because God loves us. If you ever doubted the love of God for you in your life, all you have to do is look at the cross and see what the Savior did, and gaze on that scene anew and remember the work of God. Nobody loves you like that. Your parents may love you, but they don't love you like that. Your friends may love you, but they don't love you like that. But listen, God's love is an eternal love. God's love is a sacrificial love. Now, you can despise that, you can hate that, you can reject that. Many people do. Jesus Christ came into this world as the light of life. But the thing is, people didn't want the light. They didn't want the light because the light exposes sin. When you look at the light shows what is darkness, and the darkness is dispelled. Today, there's a great move in our world to push away light. They don't want to hear what God says. They want to redefine what God says instead of accepting what the Word of God has given to us, the perfect truth that God has given. Every Word of God is pure. I praise God today as a preacher of the Word of God. I don't have to stand up here today and say, I'm ashamed of what the Bible says. I can say, I am proud of what God says. I am proud of what God says because God is God. I am man. I am fallible, and so are you. Praise God for a gracious God that loves us despite our fallibility, despite the fact that we sinned against Him, despite the fact that we turned our back on a holy God. There's a God in heaven, praise God today, that loves us. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended, God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So praise God, God loves you. Again, if you want to know the love of God today, look at the cross. Look at what the Savior suffered on that cross of shame for you. Stand there with the multitude that mocks Christ and says, "Thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross." So many people today are like that. They think it's cool to blaspheme God. They think it's cool to mock God. Their mates pat them on the back. They say, "Hey, that's great. You laugh at religion. You laugh at God. You make a mock of God." The Bible says, fools make a mock of sin. The fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God." Why is that man so foolish? Because that man has taken the life raft of the mercy of God, and he's pushed it away. He is certainly condemned to an eternity in the lake of fire because he has turned his back on God. Yet praise God today, even somebody like that could stop, look at their life and say, "You know what I need today? I need God." The number one thing in your life today, more important than anything else that could be in your day today, is that you find God. That you find Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life." So many times, I'll speak to people about their religion, and I'll say to them, "Tell me, are you 100% sure if you died, you'd go to heaven?" You know, most people that even are religious people will say something like this, "I hope so. I hope so." But God did not crucify His Son so that we could have an "I hope so" religion. God crucified His Son so that we could have an "I know so" religion, so that we could say beyond a shadow of a doubt, "I know that when I draw my last breath and I enter into eternity, that I enter therein to go into the presence of God and to glory in heaven for all eternity. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life." Friend, do you know today for sure, if you die, that you go to heaven? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, there's a saying, it's this, "Prepare to meet thy God." We take that as a pretty gruesome thought. We don't want to walk around in life thinking about death. But you know, it's a wise person that considers the end. Life is temporary, eternity is forever. When we get into eternity, it's too late to come back and to make amends for our sins. We need to be prepared now to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. There are many people that will stand in that judgment someday and say, "I wish I could go back and change it all." But when you get to that point of the judgment, it's too late. But now it's not too late. Some people would say, well, I'm too busy. Is it worth going to hell because you're too busy? Some people would say, well, I'm not interested in religion. Listen, is it worth going to hell because you're not interested in religion? Some people would say, my mates will laugh at me if I follow God. Is it worth going to hell because of what your mates think that are going to be cast into hell with you on that day? Listen, it'd be better to stand up and pick up a Bible and begin to look at it and then consider, what does God say about eternity? What does God say about my life? Now, praise God, this is a book that has x-ray vision. This is a book that looks into the innermost part of our human being. The Bible says that this book is a sword, that it divides asunder between soul and marrow, that between the joints and marrow, that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book looks into our innermost being. It exposes us for what we are. And what we find when we look into this book, sadly, is that we're sinners. There's a lot of people that think, I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm good. Well, do you lie? Yes. Are liars good people? Are you watching pornography? Are people that are immoral good people? Are you gambling and wasting your living? Are gamblers good people? And if you stop and think about it, it'd be very easy for me to convince anybody that in reality that they're not a good person. And yet that person thinks that someday when I stand before God, I'm going to say to God, God, I deserve to go to heaven because I'm a good person. The Bible says there's no good, there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody, whether that's the Pope, Hare Krishna, some religious leader, it doesn't matter who that person is, they're a sinner. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The punishment for our sin is eternity in a lake of fire. That's why Jesus Christ died. The Bible says about Jesus, Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is not a way. He's not one of the ways. When you watch the coronation on Saturday and you see all faiths coming together, recognize this. That is not Christ. That is Antichrist. The Bible said about Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, the Word of God says that Jesus is the only way, because there is no other name given amongst men whereby he must be saved. Listen, if you do not have Christ as your Savior, there's not one chance in a million that you're going to enter into heaven when you die. Only those that have Jesus Christ, that have the blood applied, that have accepted Christ as their Savior, on that day will enter into glory. And you may say, Ben, you know, it's a nice day. We're down enjoying this day as a family. I don't really want to think about death. Well, imagine this. You're at a funeral someday, and it's your own. And you stand there and you think about the life that you lived, and your life was all about sport. It was all about shopping. It was all about other things. Never about God. Never about picking up a Bible. Never about studying what God said. Are you going to be ready on that day? Listen, friend, I'd like you to have a good funeral someday. Be able to know that when you die, you enter into the presence of God for all eternity. That you're not condemned to hell for all eternity, but that you have Christ as your Savior. Only those that have Jesus will go to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. God desires you to know that. I praise God today. Again, it's a beautiful day. God's given that to us. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. We know when eclipses are going to take place. We know where the stars are going to be because they're ordered and they're organized. They're not made by some random explosion. They're made by God that designed everything. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says about Jesus, without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator, designer, God. He designed it all. And praise his name, he gave us a book, the Bible. The very word of God to teach us who Jesus Christ is. And teach us about God's love for us. And the power of God to change men's lives. Praise God for that book of all books that God has given. It's a precious book. It's a holy book. It's a book that reveals to us that there's a God in heaven that loves us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God does not want you to go to hell. God does not want you to spend eternity away from him. God does want you to know the peace that he gives, the joy that he gives, the comfort that he gives. There's people today walking past me that are contemplating suicide. They're thinking about taking their own life. Why? Because life outside of Christ is empty. Drugs don't satisfy. Alcohol doesn't satisfy. Gambling doesn't satisfy. Immorality doesn't satisfy. Oh, it promises a lot. It delivers nothing. It brings about death. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It wrecks marriages. It wrecks families. It destroys life. But God came to set us free from the power of sin. God came to set us free from the punishment of sin. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price so that we could be forgiven. Oh, do you know the love of God today? Do you know the grace of God today? Do you know the mercy of God at work in your life? Where you've gotten on your knees before a holy God and said, God, my life's messed up with sin, and I've lived my life against you. But God, I understand that on that cross, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on that cross for my sin. And I thank you for sending your Son to die for me. And God, I repent of my sin. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time in your life when you humbled your heart before a holy God? Listen, the day's coming, the Bible says, where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It doesn't matter who somebody is today. They could be the prime minister. They could be the first minister. They could be the king. It doesn't matter who they are. Someday, their knee is going to bow before a holy God. Friend, our knee is going to bow to you on that day. But it would be much better in this life, before that day in eternity, to get on our knees before God and say, God, thank you for my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my food. Thank you for everything that you've given me. And most of all, thank you for taking your Son, your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and putting him on that cross of shame to die on the cross for my sin. Oh, friend, if you've never done that, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to acknowledge God, to acknowledge the goodness of God, to acknowledge the grace of God, to understand the power of God, that God has the power. Some people today, they think, man, I just want to end it all because I cannot get victory over drugs. I cannot get victory over immorality. I cannot get victory over alcohol. These things are destroying my life. People laugh at that. They mock that. But hey, walk down in Prince Street Gardens and look at the lives of the men that have been shattered by sin. And you'll see men that if they could talk to the youth of this day, they'll say, never go down that path of alcohol. Never go down that path of drugs. Because it's a path of bondage. What you're laughing at is the very thing that can destroy your marriage, destroy your life, and wreck your family. But praise God, Jesus Christ came to set us free from that. God has the power to break the power of sin that's in somebody's life. 100 years ago, on the streets of Edinburgh, there was a church down at the other end. It was called, it was a chapel that was there at the end, at Charlotte Street Chapel. There were people that got saved. The newspaper, the secular newspaper in Edinburgh said, a religion that can take ungodly men like this, drunkards, and make them good fathers and loving husbands is a religion worth having. Oh, we've forgotten the power of God in our day. So many have turned their back on God that atheism has taken the place of the main religion that's here in Scotland. People bow down to man. They bow down to men's doctrines and to men's teaching instead of bowing before God, instead of bowing before the book of all books that God gave it to us, that explains to us what is right and what is true and what is holy and what is acceptable in the sight of God. And I praise God today that God loves you. God doesn't want you to live a life of ignorance. God does not want you to stand at the judgment someday and go, I had no idea that I give an account for my immorality, that I give an account for my lies, that I give an account for my lust, that I would give an account for my drunkenness and my drug addiction and my other things. I had no idea. God does not want you to get to that day in ignorance. God wants to enlighten you and help you to understand the sin that's in your life. Not so that you're miserable and look at your life and say, oh my, what a bad person I am, but so that you look at your life and you see the badness and you recognize that you need a Savior, that you need Jesus Christ to set you free from the power of sin. I praise God today, Jesus Christ has that power. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That guilt, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, God can take it away because He can forgive you through the sacrificial death of His Son, Jesus Christ, that paid the price for your sin. Do you know the power of God to forgive sin? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise God, today God can make you from a sinner into a saint by His grace. It's not that somebody that's a Christian is better than somebody else. It's just that by the grace of God, they have victory in their life like other people don't have because they have Christ in their life. Friend, do you have Jesus Christ? Do you have the power of God at work in your life? Do you know for sure today that if you die, you go to heaven? Not because you're a good person, not because you're religious, not because you believe in God, but that there was a time, a personal time in your life where you recognized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that He paid the price, the complete price, that by the mercy of God, you could be forgiven and given God's gift of everlasting life. For me, that took place as a child. I heard my dad preach a message on hell. I thought, man, I don't want to go to hell. And I knew I was going there. I was just a kid, but the Spirit of God convicted my heart. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die, I was going to go to hell. And I went down to my dad's study, and I asked my dad, Dad, I want to get saved. He showed me that I was a sinner, but that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin at Calvary. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And as a little boy, I bowed my head and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. You know, friend, I can tell you today, I know 100%, 150%, if that's possible, that I'm going to heaven when I die. That it's not because I'm a good person. It's because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you have that testimony today? Listen, if you're a Christian, you ought to stand up and identify with Christ. In our day, people are wearing flags, waving flags, and saying, my life is like this, and things like that. Where are the Christians that will stand up and say, I believe the Bible. I believe the truth of the Word of God. I believe what God says in His holy book, that are unashamed to identify and find their identity in Christ. There's no greater thing than to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no greater thing than to have the Savior at work in your life. There's no greater thing than to have the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Friend, do you know that today? If your idea about God is He's bad and He's horrible and that, listen, you don't know God. You don't know the mercy of God. You don't know the grace of God. What it is in your heart, you've got something that you say to God, God, I want to keep this and I hate you. Listen, we'll deal with the sin that's in our life. Anybody can have God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, friend, do you know that today? Do you know the mercy of God? Do you know the grace of God? Do you know the goodness of God? Do you have a testimony of somebody that is truly saved? You know, sadly today, in our day, there are very few Christians that stand with this book. Understand this. When a Christian takes this book and kicks it under the bus, they're not a Christian. They're not a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ is unashamed of this book. A follower of Christ takes this book and it is a holy book because it was given to us by God. The Bible says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words before this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory. There's going to be a lot of people that have to hide their head in shame because they were never what God desired them to be. They never stood up and identified with Christ as God desired them to. And very sadly in our day is suffering because of the lack of Christians that will stand up with this precious book. Oh, but I praise God today, it's true. I praise God for a book of all books. I stand with Paul when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, the number one thing keeping you from God is faith. The number one thing preventing you from having God radically change your life is your unbelief in God. Your unbelief in the cross, your unbelief in Christ and what He did when He paid the price for your sin. But friend, if you just cry out to God, God, help thou mine unbelief, like the man cried to the Savior. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Listen, come to faith, pick up the book of all books, begin to read it. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. God desires you today to have a good day. God desires you today to have a good family. God desires all those things. But listen, number one, God desires that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, do you know the Savior? Do you know that there's a Son of God in heaven right now that He knows you? He knows everything there is to know about your life. Nobody has to explain to God who you are. God knows you better than you know yourself. He's the designer. He's the creator. In our day, people are trying to cast off the Creator, saying, I can do whatever I want to do with my body because there is no God. And yet there is a God that designed us. There is a God that gave us life. There is a God that desires to give us physical life. Friend, do you know the purpose for God for your life? Do you go to church as a family? Do you read the Bible as a family? Do you sit down and understand who God is? Do you pray together as a family? There's nothing sweeter than a family that knows God. There's no stronger marriage. There's no a better man or woman than somebody that's walking with God and knows God and obeys the Word of God by the grace of God. You know, God can help you to be somebody like that. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you may not know this, but before he got saved, he killed Christians. He would commit them to prison. He would stand there when they were stoned. But God worked in this man's heart. This man got saved. He became a preacher of the cross, a preacher of Christ. He had a testimony that was unusual. He used to do the things that others wanted to do to him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to persecute him. They mocked him. They cursed him. But Paul had done that. But then he got saved. Listen, friend, it's never too late. You may think, well, Ben, you don't understand. I'm an atheist. My parents were atheists. Well, listen, it's never too late to come to faith in God. It's never too late to pick up a Bible and to begin to read it and understand that there's a creator, designer. Understand that there's a God that loves you, designed you, has a purpose for your life. All we got to do is humble our heart. All we have to do is acknowledge that God is right, we are wrong. All we got to do is put ourselves under the truth of the Word of God. Listen, it's radical. It changes lives. People today, they try anything to get better. They've got mental health problems. They try everything. Listen, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. People try relationships. They think that fornicating relationship will help me. They think that drunkenness at the pub will help me. They think that immorality on the screen will help me. It's empty. It's empty. It's empty. But Christ satisfies. Jesus said that he was the water of life. He's the one that if you take Christ into your life, he satisfies. You know, this world is full of thirsty people. And there's a lot of people making merchandise off of their thirst. I mean, the alcohol sales in Scotland are through the roof. They're getting rich off of the lust people have for alcohol. But where are the people thirsting after God? Where are the people thirsting after what can really satisfy, what can really change their life? They don't understand that alcohol is the thing that's destroying them. It's wasting their income. It's wasting their health. It can waste their marriage. It can allow them to wake up in immorality. It could absolutely shatter their very life. But they grab hold of that and say, hey, that's great. I live for that. There's a lot of people, they work all week to drink on the weekend. And then they work all week to drink on the weekend. And it's empty. And it doesn't satisfy. But Christ satisfies. You know, there's plenty of people today, again, rather than acknowledging their sin before a holy God, rather than having the decency to be ashamed of their ungodliness, they're proud of it. In our day, if you come out and say, I'm a great sinner, people pat you on the back and they say, hey, that's great. A celebrity comes out and says, I'm a great sinner, and they get accolades and people clap, and you know, people are embracing their sin and saying, hey, that's great. You identify with Satan. You identify with ungodliness. That's great. Good on you, man. But where are the people that will stand up and say, hey, my mate got saved. My mate trusted Christ as his Savior. And I say to my friend, I say, good on you. That's great. That's good for your family. That's good for your marriage. That's good for your life. You know, people get upset when people find Christ. You know why? Because they don't drink anymore. Because they don't do drugs anymore. Because they don't smoke anymore. Shouldn't that make us pause and stop and look and listen and say, if alcohol, drugs, and drink are that great, let's just bow down and worship them. But if they're not, let's forsake them and let's find out what's good, Christ. Let's find Jesus Christ. The Bible says about Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, God does not want you to die and go to hell. God does not want you to perish. In fact, the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire today would be that people would just line up to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and God would hand them his gift of everlasting life. God would hand them his forgiveness. God would hand them his peace and his joy. You know, the sad thing today is that the offer of Christ is free, but nobody wants it. People laugh at it. People mock it. And yet someday they're going to stand before God, and at that day there's not going to be a smile on their face. They're not going to be laughing, thinking about how they lived their life against God. They're not going to be laughing, think what their mates would think about them being so hard-hearted about God. They're going to be ashamed before the God of eternity as they recognize that they trampled underfoot the Son of God, that they despised the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where today are the dads that would stand up and get in the Bible and say, I'm gonna learn God's word for my family? Where are the moms that would look at the Word of God and say, I need to know what God says about this? The schools are teaching all sorts of ungodliness. They're indoctrinating our kids with ungodliness. Where are the moms and dads that would pick up the Bible and say, what does God say about that? What does God say? Every word of God is pure. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. This book is not going to change. The Bible says, though hands join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. All your mates in all the world could grab hold of your hand and say, there is no God, and ungodliness is okay. And yet someday when you stand before the holy God, you're going to give an account for everything that you've ever done in your life. The Bible says, even every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Imagine that. How many times you take God's name in vain? How many times you curse? How many times you lie? And that's just what you say, let alone what you do and what your life's all about. Oh, friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God? My deepest desire today would be that men and women would stop looking, listen, consider their life before a holy God, and begin to say to God, God, my life is messed up with sin, but I pray, God, that you change me. I pray, oh God, that I look at the cross and understand what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross for my sin. Understand that he is the Savior that can set me free. Understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God, God has the power to change your life, but you've got to come to him. Father, I pray by the grace of God that the Holy Spirit would take the words of God today and put them into the hearts of people. I pray, God, that people would get saved, that they'd understand their need of a Savior and cry out to God to save them. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. There's a hymn that says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You might wonder, what's that about? Why did they sing about the blood? Why did they talk about the blood at church? The reason is, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without that precious work that Jesus Christ did, that fountain that was opened up on that day in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ died is the fountain of life. It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life was in the blood. Jesus Christ gave his eternal life when he died on the cross for our sin. He shed his blood so that you and I do not have to give our life's blood. Someday, when we stand before God, we can stand there with the eternal life of Christ. But if we stand there someday without Christ, there's only one thing that God will say, and that is, depart from me, cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the cross. The cross is all about our need to be saved. The cross is all about the fact that if we stand before God without Jesus Christ, we'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody today could be living a life totally against God, that even an unbeliever would look at and say, you know what? They're really a wicked person. Their life is all about hate. It's all about sin. It's all about ungodliness. But I'll tell you this about that person can get saved. That person could be forgiven. That person could have the mercy of God. The only thing keeping man from God is our pride. It's ourself, what we think instead of accepting what God thinks. Instead of understanding what God says about our life, trying to be proud about it and saying, you know what, I don't want what God wants for my life because I want my sin. The Bible says about Jesus that he is the light. But the Bible also says about Jesus that when Jesus came, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Oh, if that was true in Jesus' day, it's much more true in our day. We live in a day where ungodliness is applauded. We live in a day where if somebody says, I'm an ungodly person, people come out, they clap, they say, it's great. You know, we used to celebrate morality. It used to be good to shake the hand of somebody that's been married for 50 years, married for 55 years, married for 60 years, and say, hey, that's great. That's honorable that you've been married that long. Today, we celebrate deep ungodliness when it comes to intimacy that should be reserved for marriage. People pat you on the back if you're a really ungodly person and say, hey, your sin is great, and yet God does not. This word's very clear when it comes to sin. This Bible condemns sin. This Bible tells us what it really is. It's that thing that separates us from God. It's that thing that if it's in our life, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, today, sin in your life is the one thing keeping you from Christ. Friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you really looked at your life and said, is it really good that I drink? Is it really good that I do drugs? Is it really good that I gamble and waste my living? Is it really good that I lie? Is it really good that I have a foul mouth and I curse and all these things? It's time to look in the mirror, look at our lives in light of God, and understand that our life is full of sin. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friend, because of our sin, there's a punishment. Someday when we stand before God, there's a judgment. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The punishment for our sin is death. And it's not just speaking about physical death. It's speaking about eternity in the lake of fire. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their works. Every idle word that we shall speak, men shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Everything that we've ever said against God, everything that we've ever done against God, on that judgment day, is going to be brought up before us. And God, when He judges us, is going to show His justice by revealing the truth about our life against God. You know, friend, you don't have to go to that judgment. Nobody has to go to the great white throne judgment. Anybody that would accept the pardon of God, the mercy of God at Calvary, is somebody that can be forgiven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not desire you to die in your sin. God does not desire you to go to hell. God does not desire you to have a proud heart that refuses to get in the Bible, refuses to study God's Word, refuses to consider who God is and what God's done. God does not desire that. God desires you today to pick up a Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 20, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Those that shake their head at that don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the mercy of God. They don't know the love of God. But anybody that's been born again, anybody that's been saved, would testify and say, I know this for a fact that there is a God. I know this for a fact that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin. I know this for a fact that if I were to die, I would enter immediately into the presence of God. Friend, do you know that today? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not desire a single person down here on Princess Street or on Northbridge to die and go to hell. God desires that everybody would come to faith in Jesus Christ. God desires that they would receive the gift of everlasting life. You know, one of the saddest things about the cross, Jesus Christ was crucified there for our sin, and yet despite that, there's a lot of people today just like the people around the cross. A lot of people today that are mocking God. A lot of people today that are cursing God. A lot of people today that are laughing at God. And yet He died for them. He paid the price for their sin. He made a way for them to be given God's gift of everlasting life. Your friends, do you know that today? Do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Has there been a point of time in your life where you bowed the knee before God and you say, God, I don't understand why You love me so much that You died on the cross for my sin? But God, I acknowledge that before You, and I ask You to give me Your gift of everlasting life. You know, if you'd do that, my friend, and put your faith in God, you'd receive God's gift. You would have eternal life. It's not by religion. It's not by good works. It's not by changing your life somehow and being something that God accepts. You might think, man, I can't go to church. I've never gone to church. Listen, anybody can seek God. Anybody can try to find God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires us to have his gift of everlasting life. God desires us to be born again. God wants us to come to his truth and understand that there is a Savior that loves us. He wants us to know that he died for us. He wants us to know that he can forgive us of our sins. He wants us to be born again. You know, I praise God today. God knows us from the inside out. There could be people that think they can see the outside and they know what that's about, but God sees the inside. God sees our heart. God knows where we're at. God knows what there is about our life. God is not willing that any should perish. God desires to rescue you from your sin. God desires to save you from your sin. You know, I praise God today for the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God today for the Son of God that went to that cross, unashamed for us. Listen, Jesus did not go to the cross in fear. He did not go to the cross unwillingly. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, laid down his life for us all. Jesus Christ died for you. Oh, he died for you despite maybe laughing at him, mocking him, cursing him, never picking up a Bible, never reading about him. And yet I'll tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt today that God loves you. God cares for you. God desires to save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires for you to be born again. There's a lot of great things that you can do in life, and maybe you'll achieve some significant things, but if you die without Christ, you achieve nothing. Donald Trump flies into Aberdeen this morning. Donald Trump is very rich, but if Donald Trump does not have Jesus Christ as his Savior, when he stands before God, he cannot give one penny to save his soul from hell. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can be very rich in life, very affluent in life, but if you do not have Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Friend, you have Christ. Somebody can be very poor, fit financially in life, but if they have Christ, they're rich beyond all that are about them. If those people do not have Christ, Christ is the greatest of riches. Christ is the greatest of truths. And if you just find Christ, you have everything that you need in this life. God desires that for you, my friend. God does not desire today for you to be against him. God desires for you to know him. A lot of times people at a funeral, they'll read Psalm 23. And they like that because, you know, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's really nice. And we like to think about the Lord being our shepherd. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter if somebody has the Lord is my shepherd read at their funeral if the Lord is not their shepherd. Do you get what I'm saying? There has to be somebody that enters into the sheepfold of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not the shepherd of everybody that we see here today, though he's willing to be. The Bible says about his sheep, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so his sheep are the ones that obey him. His sheep are the ones that are trusting his death on the cross, his sacrifice of his life for their sin. Now praise God, when somebody gets saved, they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can claim Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. God is a gracious God. He desires to do that, but he does that for his sheep. Only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There are many people today, they think I'm God's sheep. They're not God's sheep at all. They've turned their back on God. They do not desire God. They do not acknowledge the cross. They do not want what the Savior did on the cross for their sin. But if somebody will humble their heart and look at the cross and see what Jesus Christ did, God is willing to give them his gift of everlasting life. It's not by works. It's not something that we do. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Justified means declared righteous. God is just. He's righteous. God's saved people are just. They are justified through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But without righteousness, we cannot enter into heaven. Why? Because the punishment for sin is death. The punishment for sin is all the things that you see in this life that you look at and you might say, Ben, if there is a God, why is the world like this? It's like this because man has transgressed God's law. But God has the power to change it through Christ. God has the power to forgive you through Christ. God has the power to take away your sin through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. But we have to go to God. We have to have the humility to pick up a Bible and not care what our friends think, not care what our mates think, maybe not care what our family thinks, but look at the Bible and look at what God says and understand that the Savior died on the cross for our sin. Friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you looked at the cross and you understood that Jesus Christ, when he died, he paid the price for your sin? That you looked at the cross and understood that the Savior died for you, that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he desires to give you his mercy, that he desires to give you his forgiveness, that, listen, 20-year-olds are taking their life, 19-year-olds are taking their life, 18-year-olds are taking their life. Why? Because they're being told by the schools that they come from animals. They're being told that there is no God. They're being told that your life is just the way it is and you've got to deal with it. And instead of understanding that there's a creator, designer. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God designed us. In the beginning, God made us. He made us male and he made us female. He brought Adam and Eve together. He formed the first family. God designed it. But today, men are casting off God's design, saying we can do whatever we want to do, and it doesn't matter. But it's sin, and it's unraveling society, and it's destroying relationships, it's destroying families. But somebody that would get in the Bible and understand what God says about life, and understand that God has given us a purpose in life, that there is things to live for, that is worth living for Christ, that it's worth living for the truth of the Word of God. I praise God today that this book is the book of all books. Do you know about the Bible that this book has been translated into more languages than any other book? It's outsold every book every year that the printing press was made to print Bibles. This book is all about the most famous person in human history, the Lord Jesus Christ. We date our calendar by him. We celebrate his birthday every year. This book is a holy book. It has prophecy in it. It tells ahead of time what's going to take place. In Psalm 22, 1,000 years before the cross, it says there, they pierced his hands and his feet. 1,000 years before Christ was crucified, the Bible said how he would die. It said where he would die. It said the day of his death. Jesus Christ died on Passover. Passover is where the lamb would be slain. And the flesh of that lamb eaten, Jesus Christ, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. For 1,500 years before Christ came and Christ died, every year there was a celebration that would take place called Passover. And that Passover lamb represented the Lord Jesus Christ that would die on that very day for the sins of the world. Friend, have you ever taken Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time where you picked up a Bible? Listen, you might be intimidated by the Bible. Just pick it up and start to read it. Pray to the God that maybe you don't believe in and say, God, if you're real, prove it. I have people all the time say, then if God would give me proof, then I would believe. Listen, God's given us a book, a holy book. He's given us a book, a powerful book. He's given us a book that could change our life because it testifies in this book about who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, look in the mirror. Next time you look in the mirror, remember this. Jesus Christ died for you. Why? Because he loves you. The cross is all about the love of God. The cross is all about the mercy of God. The cross is all about the goodness of God. The cross is all about what sin costs. If you want to know how wicked sin is, look at the cross and see how God the Father treated his Son because of our sin. Christ died for us, the just, the righteous, for the unjust, the unrighteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. You might be a nice person, you might be a kind person, but you're not a good person. A good person is a righteous person. I look at people today and I see a lot of nice people, but I don't see good people because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none that a sinneth not. We're all sinners. We've all violated God's law. And the problem is the punishment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The punishment is eternity away from God. That's why Revelation speaks about that in Revelation chapter 20. It says, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, that means anybody who, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. That's why Christ came to die. Jesus Christ came to sacrifice his life to save us from our sin. He came to pay the price so that we could be forgiven. He came because he loves us and he cares for us. And he doesn't want people in Edinburgh today to just go on and on, never thinking about God, never taking time to understand the love of God, never taking time to understand the mercy of God, or the grace of God, or the forgiveness of God. Listen, if you think you've got your looks, they don't last. You think you've got your bank account, it doesn't last. You think you've got your family? Listen, even family doesn't last. But if you get Jesus Christ and you receive everlasting life, Jesus Christ is eternal. There's only one thing you can take to glory, your soul. Your soul is the only thing about you that's eternal. But the soul of man is the one thing above all else that so many people neglect. They care about their bodies. They exercise, or they put on makeup, and they buy nice clothes and things. And they take a lot of care for their body, but they don't take care for their soul. Where's the generation that will turn back to God? Where's the generation that will wake up and say, it doesn't matter what my mates think, what the educators think, what the government says. What matters is what God says. When you stand at the judgment of God someday, nobody's going to have the first minister or the SMP with them defending them saying, it's okay because I said that their sin was okay. Nobody's going to have the educator standing there and saying, I said their sin was okay too, and I taught them in their classes that their sin was okay. Nobody's going to have their mates there saying, I put my arm around them and I said, hey, good on you, you despise God, you mock God, good for you. Nobody's going to have their mates there at the judgment before God. The only person that's going to be there is themselves and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing Christ is going to do is take the book of all books that defines what sin is, and open it up and show the ungodliness in the heart of men. Only those that have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Only those that have been forgiven by God through Christ will on that day have any strength at all to stand before a holy God. Oh friend, are you ready to stand before God? The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not against you today. God is against your sin. God is not against you today. God is against the ungodliness of your heart. God is for you. God wants to rescue you. God wants to cleanse you from the inside out. God desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. You could be a really physically strong man in life, but if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have anything. You might be able to lift whatever you pick up, but that does not mean that someday you're going to be able to stand before God and arm wrestle your way into glory. When you stand before God, the only thing that matters is, do I have Jesus Christ as my Savior? Do I have the blood applied? If I don't have Jesus Christ, listen, I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to stand before God, because to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. For a saved person to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says about the ungodly that when they die and in hell, lifting up their eyes, being in torment, they're going to cry out in that day. They're going to ask for just a drip of water to satisfy their thirst in the fires of hell, where in life they satisfied their thirst with drink and drugs and sensuality and ungodliness. And in hell, they're going to be crying out for satisfaction, and they're going to find none because they lived their life against God. You'll praise God today for somebody that will stop, look, and listen, that will get in the Word of God and understand that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for them. that will understand that there's a Savior that loves them, that by the grace of God, they can be forgiven, because God desires nothing more than to give mercy to those that will repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ. You might say, Ben, what is repentance? Repentance is changing my mind. Repentance is me thinking like God thinks. Not me trying to convince God and say, God, you've got to make this right because I say this is right. But me recognizing, God, you are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. Having the humility to say, you know what? All that drink that I lived my life for, all the drugs, all the sensuality, all the cigarettes, all the wickedness that was hurting my pocketbook, hurting my soul, hurting my family, all those things are damning me to an eternity in hell, that would look at that and say, I don't want that anymore, but I want Christ. I want Jesus, because Jesus satisfies. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus Christ is the life. Friend, do you know the truth today? Do you know the truth? Father, I pray for the mercy of God. I pray for the grace of God, the power of God, upon the word of God. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm just out here sharing some truth from the Bible today. I just ran a little church to the streets of Edinburgh. A little bit of faithfulness to God here in this place, just lifting up the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, have you ever picked up a Bible and begun to read it? Have you ever looked in the book of all books that God has given? A book that tells us about the mercy of God. A book that tells us about the grace of God. A book that tells us about the love of God and the power of God and the ability that God has to cleanse us of our sins. Friend, there's nothing like knowing for sure that if you die, you're going to heaven. There's nothing like knowing for sure that your sins have been forgiven. There's no sweeter joy in life than the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Why? Because that's why God created us. God designed us to walk with Him. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible speaks about when God made Adam and Eve, that God would come down into the garden and would walk with them. God had sweet fellowship there in the garden as He walked with Adam and Eve. It was perfect. There was no sin. There was nothing to separate man from God. There was one rule that God gave in the Garden of Eden. The rule was, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. A lot of people will say to me, Ben, if God is good, why is there death? Why is there sickness? Why is there sorrow? Why is there heartache? Well, that's because of man. God gave us a will. It's what we value more than anything. We exercised that will against God in sin. Sin opened up the box to ungodliness, and death, sorrow, sickness came in. Oh, it's our fault, not God's fault. When God created, every day God looked at it, and God said, and it was good. But we did what others have done, and that we sinned against God, and because of that, death came into this world. Now, because of that, Jesus Christ had to come. Jesus Christ had to come. He had to be born. He had to live a sinless life because He had to die on the cross for our sin. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. I saw a car this morning as I was running, and I saw it said on the back, it said, lost, lost, lost. You know, that testimony of that car is the testimony of everybody that does not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, I praise God today, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, I praise God today. Somebody could be thinking, you know what? The last thing I want to think about is God. Or maybe even saying, I hate God, I despise God, I mock God. But praise God today, that person can turn to God, and in the mercy of God, they can repent of their sins, and they can receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they can be forgiven. Friend, do you know the power of the cross? You know the power, the work that Jesus Christ did when He died on the cross for your sin. I invite you today to look at the cross, to look at the story of the crucifixion, to understand the Savior of this world. the Savior Jesus Christ, the person that healed people, the person that brought people back from the dead, the person that cast demons out of men, that took people whose lives were abusing themselves, cutting themselves, and things like that, and changed their life by His power. God has the power to set men free. There's people today that actually do that. They cut themselves. There's people today that do that by sin. They hurt themselves with drugs. They hurt themselves with drink. They hurt themselves with immorality. They hurt their marriages. They hurt their family. But God came to set them free from the power of that sin. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross so that they could be set free, to die so that they could have God's gift of everlasting life. You know, praise God today that He does not want a world to continue to turn their back on Him, but that He's reaching out in love, that He's reaching out in mercy, that He's reaching out because He cares. Friend, do you know the love of God? Do you know the mercy of God? Do you know the power of God at work in your life? Because God in His mercy has awakened your heart to the truth that He is present, that He is the creator designer, that He's the one that made this beautiful world that we enjoy, that we're walking through today. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God designed it. God designed the family. God designed the husband and the wife and the children. God designed society. That's why economies work. That's why healthcare works. That's why all the things that are in life work. They work because they're designed. God designed them. God put them there. And the God that designed all that, we know there's a God just based on what we can see in the water cycle, what we can see in the circulatory system, what we can see in medicine. All those things point to the fact that there is a God. But we can't know God just through creation. We have to pick up His book, the Bible, the Word of God, the guidebook that God has given to us, the standard that testifies to us the truth. And as you open this book, you open up your eyes to what God says, and what God says is so contrary to what man says. Oh, there's a lot of people today, they're ashamed of what God says about marriage. They're ashamed about what God says about life. Why? Because they reject that. They despise that. They mock that. They turn their back on God. And yet God's book is unchanged. The Bible says about this book, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in the heavens. This book is an eternal book. Every word of God is pure. But Jesus said, until I come back, not even the diacritical markings in the Hebrew Old Testament are going to pass from the law. The law stands today as it stood in the days of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're all sinners. All of us have transgressed God's law. All of us have violated what God says in His book. Sin is a transgression of the law. If you wonder today, if you're a sinner, just ask yourself, do I lie? Do I curse? Do I take God's name in vain? Am I immoral? You know, is there hatred in my life that I hate somebody, I want to murder them? You know, all those things point to the fact that we're not good people, but that we're sinners. And the problem is this, the wages of sin is death. The punishment for our sin is eternity in a lake of fire away from God. That's why Christ came. Christ came to die on the cross for our sin. Jesus Christ came to pay the price so that we could be forgiven. Jesus Christ came because He desires to give us His gift of everlasting life. Friend, do you know the goodness of God? Have you ever picked up a Bible and begun to read it? You can download it onto your phone. I just put in KJV Bible. It's a free download that anybody can get. You can get the Bible. You can begin to read it and understand about the love of God. Understand about the mercy of God. Understand about the grace of God. Praise God today for His mercy. Father, I praise You for Your grace. Thank You for the strength You've given to declare the truth of the Word.